Hello and welcome to the Physician Financial Success Podcast. My name is Josh Metal and this is the podcast dedicated to advising physicians how to avoid financial landmines. Today we'll be talking with Linda Chain, professional real estate advisor from Prudential Americana Group in Las Vegas, Nevada. Linda has transformed her background in the medical field and now specializes in relocating physicians and their families who are moving to the Las Vegas area. Linda, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Josh. Thank you.
You bet. It's a pleasure to have you. And I found your background so interesting. So let me start there. Tell me just a little bit about your background in the medical field and how you got started in real estate and then helping physicians relocating to the Las Vegas area.
Prior to real estate, I enjoyed 22 years as a partner in a healthcare consulting firm. My focus was to assist physicians and hospital administrators nationwide with the development of heart programs, freestanding heart and wellness centers, medical malls as we know them today, and overall business development for the ever-changing healthcare environment.
Wow, 22 years. You've got some background there.
I got some background and a lot of doctors to show for it.
That's fantastic. I love it.
So I retired from that career because I was tired of traveling, quite honestly. I was on a plane Monday through Friday, sometimes weekends, and it just became too much. So for a while, I did some freelance consulting, but I thought, hey, I love real estate. What fun would it be to help families achieve and enjoy home ownership by doing something I love?
Cool.
And that's how I got into the real estate environment.
I love it. And so how long in Las Vegas, now when you were traveling for those 22 years, were you in Las Vegas that whole time?
No, I started in Los Angeles and then relocated the company, which I was a partner in, to Las Vegas because travel nationwide from Las Vegas is just as easy as it is in Los Angeles or New York because
sure.
We're such a hub for tourism here.
Yeah. And so how long in Las Vegas now?
Well, I've been in Las Vegas since 1991. I've been in real estate since 2000.
Great. Yeah, well, I can attest that when I came down and met you and you were kind enough to show myself and my wife a few homes, we interviewed and spoke with a couple of realtors, and you certainly stood out as the area expert. So kudos.
Well, thank you. And I try to perfect that expertise on a regular basis because real estate, like every other market, is ever-changing.
Oh, especially Las Vegas real estate, right?
Especially Las Vegas real estate in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
It has been certainly a dynamic to be aware of and also stay ahead of the game.
Yeah, totally agree. So I've always believed that relocating physician families have more needs. They need more advice, more guidance, more expertise than the average home buyer moving across town. And the reason for that is that they're obviously, typically, there's a relocation, new employment, and lots of moving pieces. So could you tell me if you agree with that and maybe a little bit about your partnership with Lori and how those two things might marry one another?
Absolutely. And you're quite right. Working with physicians and the relocation process are two dynamics that need to integrate with one another.
Yeah.
Physicians have very busy lifestyles, intense lifestyles, and in order to assist them, you have to be aware of those time constraints. I sometimes, just a little sidebar here, I liken buying or shopping for the new home to buying a new car. You have to drive it a number of times to see if it fits right, if the price is right, and it meets the needs of the family.
Yeah.
And the same is true of buying a new house and identifying what works for this physician and his family. I always start out by looking at the needs of the family, the location, schools, private schools, ages of the children, or there may not be children yet, but then the distance from the hospital for the physician, where the parks are, where the shopping is, and a whole litany of aspects that affect what home is right for this individual. From there, with the relocating physicians, as you mentioned, they have time constraints. And real estate services are critical to assisting them in previewing the home, then viewing the home, negotiating the price for the home. And once a home is selected, the real estate specialist, such as myself, becomes the resource to assist with all the steps that have to be managed prior to closing that home and turning the key over to the physician. And I can't stress enough that the devil's in the details. Because without paying attention to the little things, sometimes the big things can get away from you. And a physician that's relocating, he'll come to town, identify the house. We will make an offer on the house, hopefully get it into escrow. Then the physician and his family go back to where they're moving from to get that ball into play in order to transition to their new life in Las Vegas. And that's where I can come in, because I can do everything in the background while they're busy with other tasks.
I can't agree with you more. And oftentimes I find that realtors are doing the inspection process for the relocating person because, you know, that he or she is out in maybe the area for their new house hunting, and maybe they've only got 2 afternoons to find a home or a couple of days. So it's very intense. Once that's done, then the inspection process happens, and they're usually not coming back for that. Usually that's something that the realtor is managing. And then the timing, as you mentioned, is so sensitive because not only are they transitioning out of a home into a new home, but they're transitioning into new employment, and unless they're paying cash for their home, that all feeds into when they're starting their new employment contract and the guidelines that the mortgage underwriter has for that. So of all the professionals we serve, there's just more moving pieces. And I find that, you know, the realtor who specializes in short sales, or the realtor who specializes in farming their little area, it probably does a fantastic job with that and is very specialized in that area. But if you're not used to the 9 balls that are juggling that have to be taken care of when you're relocating a physician family across the country, one of the balls is going to drop. I mean, it's just too much for you to figure out the first time down this road guiding a physician family through a relocation.
Well, it is. And you mentioned my business partner, Lori. The reason we've teamed up is to be able to provide all of our clients with 24/7 services. If she's tied up and one of her clients needs something, I'm there to help, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you can't drop one of those balls. And let's say there's a critical action occurring this Friday, and I happen to be out of town at a convention, Lori can jump in and take care of it so that we don't miss a beat. And that the strength is in the numbers. So with the two of us, I think our clients get so much more for their investment.
Agreed.
Than if it was just one person.
Absolutely agreed. I don't know how you can provide the same level of service and the same level of availability doing it as a one man or one woman show, so to speak.
Right. It's difficult. It's difficult. But the clients come first, and that's what we're here for.
I love it. Okay, so we decided to do something kind of fun today, and since relocation is coming, match day is March 21st, so we're, you know, just about 30 days away from that. And in anticipation for the relocation season, we created a checklist, the 6 steps to a flawless relocation to Las Vegas. And we'll just go back and forth here, Linda. And if you don't mind, I'll start with step number one that I see is the first thing that should be done to ensure a flawless relocation to Las Vegas.
Okay.
All right. So number one, choose a mortgage professional who can educate and truly guide you. I find that when we get a client that calls us panicked at the last moment because their loan was declined or docs are late to the closing table and they don't know if the thing's going to happen, the genesis of that debacle, where it all started from, was that they simply went down the path with the very first lender that they spoke with. So, case in point, you deal with a realtor who is not experienced with relocation and physicians. They farm an area and they're an expert in that area. and they work with Bob. Bob is a loan officer that they've worked with for 20 years, and Bob is excellent, very good loan officer, knows his business. However, you happen to be a relocating resident or newly attending physician, and you have $150,000 in student loans. They're probably transitioning in and out of either income-based repayment, deferment, forbearance, some sort of altered payment rather than a full amortized payment. You have a new employment contract, and you probably don't have two paychecks in hand by the time you want to close. And some or all of your down payment is potentially gifted, or from a sign-on bonus, or from a fam from a, another member of the family. And rarely do we see, with especially with our younger physicians that we serve, 20% down payment just sitting in the bank ready. And so you start down this path with Bob, and Bob doesn't understand all these moving pieces. And what I find is that what happens is the loan moves forward until it gets to underwriting, and it's in underwriting the week before closing that some of these challenges that Bob's not used to come to fruition and causes a problem. So I would say step number one, choose a professional who can educate you and guide you, and someone who has experience working with physicians. And that's an easy thing. You just ask them, you know, can I see your testimonials? Can you tell me about the physicians that you serve?
Well, absolutely. And along that line too, you mentioned their down payment. And for the physicians, well, let me back up here. Average sales price of a home in Las Vegas last month was $220,000. A physician coming to town with a wonderful contract will be looking at a larger home and potentially a home that costs a little bit more, even though our industry here, the home prices are still below replacement value. But in order for a physician to buy a home close to $500,000, which is where I see most of them looking, they require a jumbo loan. And that jumbo loan requires the 20% down that you're talking about, unlike an FHA loan, which has a cap at $220,000. So your point is so valid as to where's the down payment coming from, because that's key to making this home purchase successful for the physician.
Yeah, and then you know, just another piece of that is having access to programs, potentially jumbo programs, as you mentioned, that require less than 20% down. Programs that may be available for 5 or 10% down, which our younger clientele tends to have stepping into income, but is spread thin with where that saving, you know, they haven't had much money accumulated in savings, and so that's another thing to bring to the table when you've got a physician loan. You can expect a little less down payment. So with that, Linda, can I ask you to introduce step number two?
Step number two is to verify your lender's reputation. And in that, as you mentioned, Bob, the I don't know Bob, but in regard to that, I guess I look for three different aspects of that lender, which is number one, the skills in assisting the physician and assisting the physician in understanding the process and accepting the process. So a lot of that is education. Next, the training of the lender, which tying into that would be his experience. And then, as you've alluded to earlier in this discussion, the creativity. And that's not intended to be anything negative, but to be able to bob and weave in a changing market of lending, which just started actually rolling into this year. The lender needs to be creative and needs to be able to think outside the box in order to make it happen. So those are the three things I look for. Some of the physicians I've worked with, interestingly enough, try to compare lenders based on the fees that the lender might charge. And I always question the physicians by saying, is it really about the fees or is it about getting the job done? And more often than not, with their training, they're able to see where I'm coming from so that they understand achievement is the goal. And that's how I believe I've helped so many pick the right lender to work with, because it's what they're going to achieve at the end of the day, not how much it actually costs to get the job done. Would you agree, Josh?
Yeah, just to kind of back that up, I mean, a great deal on something that cannot be brought to fruition, cannot be closed, is not a great deal. And that's unfortunately where I find the errors being made is everybody wants the best deal. Everybody wants to pay the least amount possible, of course. That's in all of our human best interest. But if you're buying beachfront property in Arizona, you have to judge that. And that to me all comes back to verifying your lender's reputation. If you see something that you think, but boy, this kind of seems maybe a little too good to be true, then I think that it's totally you're right, and maybe even your obligation to say, you know what, this sounds great. Can I talk to the last five physicians that you helped relocate to Las Vegas? And if they say, sure, I'll give you five, maybe call one at a time. And if you think you need to call all five, I'll vet that with each of them, make sure it's okay. Great. But if they go, oh, well, we haven't helped five physicians in Nevada, well, then you got to understand that there's likely going to be some sort of problem with what they've promised.
Exactly. Yeah. Testimonials and referrals are king.
Yeah.
So, next, I think, Josh, you're up
Yeah,
on step three.
you got it. Okay, step three, obtain a credit and income approval. So, traditionally in the mortgage industry, this is referred to as a pre-approval or a pre-qualification. And what we identified about 3 years ago as mortgage underwriting guidelines were in an absolute upheaval, changing weekly. And, investors were going all different directions with all kinds of different overlays and additional guidelines. And, well, you can do this only if that or that or this. And in that case, then that. And we decided that a pre-approval and a pre-qual was not enough for the physicians that we serve. So we insist now, or we, I maybe should say, we strongly advise that we gather all of the documents up front. So we gather paycheck stubs, tax returns, employment contracts, information on all student loans, if they're in forbearance, deferment, income-based repayment, being consolidated. We got to wrap our brains around that. We have to see where the money is now. Where is the down payment? What date does your employment contract start? When do you want to move in? We need to see all of those pieces of the puzzle, and we like to see that as early as possible. If I have a physician that's relocating and they're starting a residency in late June, let's say they want to close in late May, then I want to start looking at that stuff in March, because if there's a problem with one of those student loans, case in point, we see this all the time where there was a consolidation, but the old student lenders haven't shown a zero balance on the student loan. So now we're showing $300,000 in student loan balances on a credit report where there's only 150. Well, that process of clearing that up isn't, we'll have that done by 2 p.m. this afternoon. It's a process. We got to get letters from or credit supplements done. If you moved and you missed a payment on one of your student loans, oftentimes you're not even going to know that until you pull a credit report. And sometimes we've been successful in going back and negotiating with those creditors and trying to get them to update or remove that. But that doesn't happen by 2 p.m. this afternoon. That takes time. If you have an employment contract that has a wrinkle in it that's going to cause you to not be able to close until you have two paychecks, or maybe you're 1099 and you're not going to be able to close until you're in practice for a couple months, you want to know that in March, not in May, because in May, when you're out looking for a home, maybe you should be looking for a rental versus a home. So we call that a credit and income approval, where we gather all of those documents. It goes past the loan officer to an underwriter. The underwriter fully vets, fully underwrites that entire application and issues what's called a credit approval. We liken that to a blank check. Basically, you've been underwritten. Your credit, your income, your employment, your liabilities are approved. Go find a home. If it appraises and the title report is clean, we will close. And so that process takes a little more time, but for a relocating physician that has so many moving pieces, I think it's vital. And in my mind, if you've done, you know, the first three or four steps correctly, and I think the next step is obviously crucial, which I'll introduce here, but if you've done that correctly, you're 99% safe. So,
well said.
Thank you. Anything to add to that, or do you think that covers it?
No, I think that definitely covers it. It's just so critical knowing early on where there might be some issues so that they can be resolved timely.
Yep.
Because it's true, once the clock starts ticking in the transaction and the relocation, and when the physician's reporting for his new position, those dates can't be changed.
Yeah, that's exactly
so
right.
We need to know early on that.
Okay, and Linda, I'll introduce step four. And this sounds so self-serving, but the reality is, whether you choose Linda to represent you or not, this is so vital. And so step number four is carefully select your realtor.
The success of the transaction is key to the realtor in place. And I'd like to throw out here whether they are renting, as you mentioned earlier, because they're not in a position to close on a house immediately, or if they're buying. Relocation has a lot of stress involved in it, and the selection of the realtor can help mitigate that stress in order to make it as tolerable, for lack of a better word, as possible. But I will throw out right here that if they are able to buy instead of rent, it gives them an opportunity to take advantage right now of the great interest rates, the great prices we have in Las Vegas, and establishing the family in a location where they have home ownership instead of renting. But I will help the physicians and have helped many of them rent before they buy in order to just get into the community and get settled. So please keep that in mind if that's necessary, because it is a service that is readily available. In selecting the realtor, I think it's important that the realtor pays attention to, as I said earlier, the needs of the physicians and the way in which they are going to communicate. As you said earlier, Josh, they come into town, hopefully find that house on the first visit, and then they're gone. So by having a realtor that they will be working with continuously over the phone, via emails, and at times in person, they need to be able to communicate with that person in order to get the job done. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just going to give you a plug, and I hope nobody takes offense to this, because it's truthful when I give it. And that is that, you know, when we came down and we looked at real estate, we noticed that your professionalism, your demeanor, the ability for you to move through and show us homes quickly and be informed about the neighborhood was what immediately struck us. As we worked together with the first physician clients, then it was your knowledge of the process of relocating, and really one thing that jumped out at me that has you manage transactions, I've watched you manage other people's transactions now, is that you, I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, you ride that transaction. I mean, you don't just write that thing and then, great, good luck, we're on to the next deal. You are in communication. You are full time. You know, it's like in defense, they would call that the full court press. You are always moving that. You know, it's like there's all these steps that have to happen. And at each step, you're pushing, guiding, following up, and that's something about you that I think is exceptional.
Well, thank you. I think that came from my consulting background because I spent so much time in operations with the physicians and setting up the heart hospitals. And operationally, you've got to be on top of it, and you've got to be proactive, and you need to know if there's a deadline that's looming, jump in, get the job done.
And I think it comes from your personality because you just don't take any crap, but that's just me. All right, let's move on to step five. Stay in communication. Again, if you've done step one through four, you're coasting, and I think you're going to be fine. But that doesn't mean that you need to stop your due diligence as a borrower, as a client that's buying a home, and you need to continue to follow up with those professionals. You need to let them check in with them. Now, you should be receiving updates, but if you're not, I would say weekly at least, send an email. How are we doing? Are we on track? Everything looking okay? Just a reminder, I need to be in my new home on Friday. I'll be in town on Wednesday. We anticipate closing docs. Mr. Realtor, Mrs. Realtor, Mr. Loan Officer, Mrs. Loan Officer, are we on track? And so I think that communication is a responsibility of the client if they want to. Now, it should be a responsibility of the realtor and the loan officer as well. But don't just give that up as a client. Make sure that you keep that high level of communication throughout the transaction and ensure that you're not surprised with something.
Yeah, absolutely. And going along with that, Josh, is expect the unexpected. And I may think that the physician is packing up on Wednesday and driving to Las Vegas, will be here on Friday and expect the keys. But things change. And so all of a sudden it might be, oh, no, it was, we are packing up on Wednesday, but we're going to make a quick stop in Kansas City or somewhere because it's somebody's birthday.
And that
but we
happens all
really
the
won't be
time.
there until Monday. Right. And so therefore that communication is always important so that everybody is on the same sheet of music. I
Absolutely.
guess that's
That's
kind of the
exactly
best
how
way
I'd
to
say
say
it.
it.
Well done. Okay, step number six. Linda, I'll let you have this one. Be proactive. And I don't know that we just, didn't somewhat cover that in stay in communication, but anything to add along those lines?
Not really. I think we have covered it because being proactive is making sure the job gets done when it's supposed to, and the keys are handed to the buyer at the time that they close on the transaction and are ready to move in. But what I would add, I think, is all parties need to be proactive, not just the
Agreed.
realtor, not just the lender, and not just the buyer. All parties need to be proactive on a concurrent basis for a successful close. The other thing I might say, just stepping back a little bit here, is and this is information for those that are listening to us, there's not any one transaction that goes smoothly. And it used to frustrate me because I thought, why are all these moving parts creating such a challenge? Well, what I've learned over the years is that a smooth transaction is often not successful because there's always something that is going to create a little hiccup. But if there's a hiccup, that means that we're all paying attention to get it resolved. Whereas if we just didn't communicate and there was silence, who knows what might be lurking in the background. So I always find that really actually refreshing, as silly as it might sound. But when there's a little hiccup, there's a solution to it. We get it solved and we keep going.
I think it's really important, and I think rolling with the punches in real estate, because you are moving with so many different pieces, your ability to say, okay, we didn't expect that thing to come out of left field. Nobody could have anticipated that there was this title easement or what have you. So the ability and the expertise of your real estate professional and your mortgage lender to come together and say, okay, Linda, how are we going to fix this one? And then work together to devise a plan that is going to work for the sellers, work for you as the buyer, work for the mortgage underwriter who's going to give the final stamp of approval. That's all rolling with the punches. And that is something that is very hard to determine from a financing proposal from a mortgage person. It's very hard to determine, maybe even with the first phone call with a realtor. And probably the best way to do that is through client testimonials and just, really talking to those professionals on how much experience they have. So really well said. Okay, well, I know that these are always good interviews, Linda, when I have more questions than time. But before we
Right. Yeah, I know. I was noticing that too.
But before we end off, I gotta make sure we get this in. So I think this is vital. I believe that you've done several reports for clients that we've helped together, and for relocating physicians on the area's most attractive areas that are located within, say, 10 to 15 minutes of the major Las Vegas hospitals. And can you just tell us a little bit about those reports and how you go through that and position that to clients that are relocating so they have some sort of a reality with the area?
Yes, and thank you for asking on that. I'd almost forgotten. The most important aspect, I believe, for helping the physicians relocate is location
Right.
and where they're going to be centered with their new job or their residency program. We have three different healthcare systems in town, and because of that, a physician may enter into his new contract and be expected to cover five different hospitals.
Wow.
So finding out the parameters of the position that they're looking for is number one to then identifying the location that might be best for the home search. And consequently, I like to have instead of just throwing out a blind report, I like to have the physicians contact me, give me just a little bit of background of what they're considering, and then I can fine-tune and personalize the report to meet their specific needs. Schools go into that as well. If their children are coming to town and they've already aligned with one of our private schools, we need to take that into consideration. So contacting me is the best way to get that report that will mean everything to the end result and the communities that we are going to look in.
Well, and just trying to get a concept of okay, I know I need to be X number of minutes from my hospital, but how do I put that together? How do I marry that with how close I am to schools? How close am I in to the shopping centers that I want to be near? And what kind of neighborhoods then fall into that overlap? That's hard to do from Nebraska. I mean, you really need some expertise to kind of figure that out. So, well done there.
It is, but I have a mapping program that will do overlays for me, and it's
Oh.
really quick. So as long as I know the parameters and the order of priority, I can get it mapped out and send them a report overnight.
That's great. So that brings us obviously to the last question. If someone wants a report, if someone has questions about the area and wants to contact you, how do they best reach you and get in communication?
I would say via email or my cell phone would be the most immediate. My cell phone is 702-250-7000, an easy number to remember. And my email is linda@mpdnv.com. And I also have a website, which is Executing Excellence. So that could, you can log on there and get all my contact information as well. But clearly, shoot me an email or send me a text on my phone, and I can get started.
Will you say that cell number one more time?
Yes, it's 702-250-7000.
Great. Linda, thanks again. It was a pleasure, and I really look forward to connecting and continuing to our work relationship soon.
Well, Josh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure as well, and I look forward to working with many physicians in the future.